People don't listen to AM like they used to. Seems like it's more about FM and color TV.
That's stupid.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
Welcome to the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have everybody with us tonight. A little bit of a condensed show as we had some technical difficulties here at the arena as we are broadcasting live from Seven Oaks Arena. Jason, how are you? How's everything going?
I'm doing great. Now that we got everything fixed up, it's much better.
Now that we figured out where we went wrong and what we need to do to get things working, we're back in order. The song that you're listening to underneath us right now, I'll turn up a little bit so you can hear it. It's called 100 Years. It's written and performed by Amanda Rayom, who is Canadian, and she is of Métis heritage. So kind of an interesting sort of combination of that. When she was here in 2014, I believe the Junos were here in 2014, she played in the Juno Cup. So she's a big hockey fan, huge hockey player as well. But I thought it would be appropriate, considering we're broadcasting from the Seven Oaks Arena in Treaty One territory tonight, which, of course, represent the original lands, the Anishinaabe, the Cree, the OG Cree, the Dakota, and the Dene people, and the homeland of the Métis Nation, as we come to you live from the National Aboriginal Hockey Championship at Seven Oaks Arena. So kind of a good setup, a good tie into all the different things that we have going on there.
Yeah, and so far, like, this is amazing. Like, the production they've got going on here.
Yeah.
I am just, like, floored by how well this is all coming together. And the teams look great. We've seen a little bit of action so far. We've got Manitoba and Nunavut here.
Yep,
so
warming up.
It's going to be a nice game, I think.
The fun part, and I'll get to the fun part here in a second. Amanda's song, by the way, just so everybody knows, 100 Years is about Canada's scarred history in its relationship with Indigenous people. She sings about the discovery of unmarked graves at former residential schools in one verse. But her song was inspired by the words attributed to Métis leader Louis Riel, who led the Northwest Resistance in 1885. He said, quote, "My people will sleep for 100 years, but when they awake, it will be the artists that give them back their spirit," unquote. So, again, that's why we're using it. The song was also released on November 16, 2021, the same date that Louis Riel was hanged for treason in Regina in 1885.
The very prescient words from Louis Riel.
She has brought together a whole whack load of things and interwoven them together. Just as a note on Riel, he was voted as Canada's 11th greatest Canadian CBC's 2004 poll. So, again, from murderous traitor to revered Canadian in terms of how much he is appreciated by everybody. And certainly with the number of people, number of players that are here today in terms of having Indigenous backgrounds, we wanted to bring, you know, shed a little light on a good thing that's happened here in Manitoba with Louis Riel getting the recognition he should. So let's get into a little bit of the tournament, talk a little bit about the tournament here, because there's a lot going on. As you said, Jason, Manitoba, Nunavut, just warming up. We'll talk about how they got here as well, because the men's side has been, I'm going to say wild, to put it nicely. All right?
All right.
British Columbia, they go into the playoffs starting tomorrow. 3-0 with a differential of +8. Manitoba sits at 3-0 as well. They have a differential of +19. Like, they are out of this world good. But due to the formula, Manitoba's going to be ranked second. We'll get to the formula in a second. Saskatchewan, Ontario, both 2-1. Saskatchewan's differential bumped them ahead of Ontario, though, in terms of the scoring that they did. Atlantic is 1-1 with a +1 and 2 with a +4 differential. Alberta's a 1-2 with is 1-2 with a -1 differential. Nunavut and Eastern Door and North, which is kind of like Quebec, are 0-3. Nunavut's differential is better, though, so that's why they are playing in this 2-7 game tonight.
Okay.
So that means we're ready for the quarterfinals. The early on, Atlantic and Saskatchewan in the 3-6 game at 9 a.m. this morning. Saskatchewan was the winner there. They won 6-2. Alberta, Ontario went mano-a-mano in the afternoon game. I didn't actually see. I'm going to see if I can look it up right now. I didn't see who won that game because they hadn't posted the results at that point. But I do know that at one point, Alberta had a brief lead. So whether or not that counts for anything, we'll see in a second here. But looking at the strength of teams, we talked about this with Jeff Spencer a couple weeks back when we had him on the show. Manitoba always strong, BC always strong, and of course Ontario always strong. Looks like we're going to be in for the same kind of setup here. Although again, there could be an upset at some point, but those three teams have really jumped to the forefront in terms of the men's side of the tournament here.
Yeah, it's very competitive so far. Obviously, Manitoba being performing as well as they, we're going to be very proud as men. You know, with Manitoba performing.
We got more news about Manitoba in a second as well, so stay tuned.
It's really growing into something really great, and I'm really looking for a potential upset to really, like, flip the script once we were getting into the playoff games here.
Right,
It's hockey. Like, it could go either way.
Well, I mean, a couple of bounces here and there, right?
Exactly, and these teams are a lot closer than I think some of the scores might indicate, but it's been like it's a tournament like this, and the format of tournaments like this are just ripe for upsets.
So Ontario in the 12 noon game today, Ontario did prevail 3-2 over Alberta. So that's going to be interesting now, because again, those two teams will move on. They're going to await the winner of British Columbia and Eastern Door North. We just saw British Columbia finish that game here on this rink. British Columbia beating Eastern Door North. That was the 1-8 game by a score of 6-0.
Yeah.
So as it stands right now, British Columbia, if everything matches up the way it's supposed to, British Columbia will play Saskatchewan in tomorrow's semifinal game. Manitoba, if they were to win against Nunavut, they would play against Ontario. However, Nunavut defeats Manitoba tonight, it upsets everything, because then Nunavut would play British Columbia tomorrow, and then Ontario and Saskatchewan would play. So keeping an eye on who's playing who.
Chaos here.
Again, the chaos would be unreal as well, because this place is filling up with Manitoba fans as well. So it would be a little bit of craziness if we saw that happen. But at the same time, though, we want to see both teams come out and do really well in terms of this game.
Yep.
As we said, it's packed here. The good news, and this is where we're going to come in, listeners, is that legitimately you can come and see all these games for nada, for nothing, for free. Admission to the tournament is free all weekend long. Come on down, see some great hockey. These are kids that are under 18 in terms of everything that's happening. But at the same time, though, they're the ones that are going to be sort of the next wave of great players that are going into college hockey, into university hockey, that kind of stuff. So when we look at all the different stuff, when we look at all the different stuff that's happening, basically want to see Manitoba do well here tonight, want to see, you know, some of these players go on and do well in the future as well. But again, these are the players, if you're going to come this weekend, you'll see playing at the university level next year, playing at the college level next year, depending on where they go. And a few players have already committed. So again, Manitoba and Nunavut is in front of us right now. Now again, we talked a little bit about about some of the setup in terms of who's doing what and who's playing well. As it stands right now, before we get into any more games tonight in terms of who's doing what, the leading scorer on the men's side is from Manitoba. Well, was from Manitoba, I should say. Billy Biederman had a big afternoon for Ontario. But game in hand, Marlon Edwards has 10 points, leads the tournament in goal scoring with 7 right now.
Cool. That's an amazing
7 goals
so
in
far.
3 games.
Yeah, that's
dude is lighting the lamp.
he's pulling a bit of a McDavid here.
He's not, from what I understand, he's not committed anywhere yet. I went to look him up this afternoon. Not committed anywhere yet. So 10 points for Marlon Edwards. Marcellus Francis, who played for Team Atlantic, he has 10 points as well. He played earlier. He's done. Well, not done. He's on the consolation side now, but he's probably not going to win the scoring title on the consolation side. He could, but we'd hope that, you know, the guys that are still going forward aren't. Billy Biederman, who is legitimately a great scorer for Ontario, is leading the way. 4 goals, 7 assists. He has 11 points, but he has played one more game than Marlon Edwards, who we'll see play here in a few moments. So lots to go over that way in terms of scoring. Lots of players that we have to talk about still in terms of going through, but we still have the women's side to talk about as well. And I know that we were interested in this because Manitoba's defending champions. So, I mean, it's always fun to talk about defending champions, right?
Yeah, exactly. And especially when it's, you know, Manitoba pride and, you know, you get to see your team up there.
That's right.
But I feel like this is the exact kind of tournament where you could really just go crazy with recruiting and pick up a lot of great talent. Just coming here and seeing players. And
the irony is there's a lot of good players here that legitimately are below the age of 17, 18, so they haven't been recruited yet. Like, a lot of the top scorers, which we'll look at in a second, are 16 years old. Like, yeah. We're talking, this is the wave that's coming up in terms of how good these young women are. So, again, we'll talk about how the women's side broke down, because it's a little bit different, although not a lot. Ontario finished a round robin 4-0 with a goal differential of plus 29.
Okay?
Plus 29. Manitoba finished a round robin at 4-0. They had a goal differential only, they allowed three goals in their final game. They hadn't allowed a goal until that final game, but they took their foot off the gas a little bit, which kind of hurt them because it bumped them below Ontario in the seedings. So they could have been the number one seed, but they took their foot off the gas and they ended up only in the second seed. Not that anybody's complaining, they're still 4-0. Team BC is 2-2 with a plus 9 differential. Team Saskatchewan was 2-2 with a differential of 0. Alberta finished 1-2. Team Atlantic finished 0-4. And Team Eastern Door and the North finished 0-4. So there was a play-in game, because there's only 7 teams as well. So a play-in game to get into the quarterfinals.
Okay.
Top 2 teams advanced with a bye to the semifinals. So kind of like Canada West.
Yeah.
But the play-in game happened earlier today. And that was Atlantic and Eastern Door and North. So basically Team Quebec that got in. And I hate to tell you this, but Atlantic and Eastern Door and North battled to a 5-1 victory for Atlantic. So Atlantic would move on, and they'll end up playing Alberta, which is going on right now on the rink behind us on the other side of the wall here. In the earlier game, British Columbia and Saskatchewan met. British Columbia and Saskatchewan saw BC win 5-1, so they're going to move on. The lowest seed that's remaining now, so BC is the 4th ranked, Saskatchewan 5th ranked. The lowest seed, I think that's how we had it, isn't it? Let me just go back and check there, just to make sure we're right. Oh, yeah, BC finished ahead of Saskatchewan. So, again, so BC, in terms of finishing ahead of Saskatchewan, they're going to play whoever ends up. They're going to be the lowest seed, it looks like, unless Alberta somehow loses to Atlantic. But at the end of the day, BC will likely end up playing Ontario, and Alberta would likely end up playing Manitoba if Alberta is successful tonight. So it's coming down to the big teams again. Ontario, BC, and Manitoba in both the men's and the women's side that are going to be battling for this.
I mean, if Manitoba's there, I'm happy. You know?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm happy about that as well. I'm not going to say not that I wouldn't be happy at that point, but if you're the defending champs, bring it home again.
Exactly. Like,
let's go, especially on home ice as well. So it's always good to see Team Manitoba doing well, and we're certainly proud of all the kids that are coming out here. Again, the leading scorers in the women's tournament, and again, I looked up some of this stuff and I was like, what? Allie Altman from Ontario has 12 points, 4 goals, 8 assists. She's a defender. She leads the tournament in scoring.
Excuse me?
She's a defender. She leads the tournament in scoring.
Oh, man.
She's been all over the ice, as you probably know. Linnea Missner, who goes to Balmoral Hall here in Manitoba, she's second in tournament scoring, 3 goals and 5 assists. Alexia Hill, who is already committed to going to a school next year, she's got 5 goals and 2 assists. She leads the tournament in goal scoring, along with defender Juliana Herman from Manitoba, who also has 5 goals. Juliana Herman, a defender, is leading the tournament in goal scoring.
That's what you like to see.
Sydney Sawyer has 7 points.
Multifaceted players.
Exactly. And then Charlotte Swanton moved into the top scorers this week in terms of her performance as well. 3 goals and 4 assists. So a lot of good scorers here, but again, a lot of younger players here in terms of these teams as well. A lot of these players are 16. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, some of them are playing up. Alexia Hill, for example. Oh, no, sorry. Sydney Sawyer, the defender for Ontario. She plays in the under-22 league. She's 15. So it just tells you how good some of these players are, right?
Oh, man.
So, no, I mean, you can't really take anything away from these players. They're very good at what they do, and this is why these teams are ending up in the top every year in terms of battling back and forth for that gold medal. So, I mean, really, really good teams and really, really good players that are coming out here. Again, you can see all this action for free down at Seven Oaks Arena this weekend. All free, all weekend long for all the medal games. Get your butts down here. I know it's going to be a nice weekend. I mean, granted, a lot of people are going to go in the lake.
It's supposed to rain on Saturday,
true.
So maybe Saturday you can swing it.
Again, I heard a lot of people a few people that I know that are around the office that were talking about going to the lake this weekend, going to open up the cabin, all that kind of stuff. You know what? If it's pouring rain on Saturday, blow the day off, come down to Seven Oaks
exactly.
And watch a little hockey action. It's going to be great. So that's what we think you should do in terms of coming in here. We're going to see if we can get a few guests to come sit down with us here as this night rolls on. We're getting set here. We're about halfway through the show. Unfortunately, we didn't get the full half in, but again, a little bit of technical difficulties. But at the end of the day, we're on the air. We're happy to do this. Want to give props out to Brian, my man Brian Svenny, who is working the board back at the studio for us. Svenny and the Pity Party. You can hear that on Friday afternoons. Fantastic show there. He's also on the Bench Jockeys in the morning on Friday, talking a little baseball with program director Mike and with Chris Duke in the morning. So Svenny's all over the radio and he's helping us out tonight. Want to say thanks to Svenny.
Svenny's the real MVP.
He is tonight. He is the MVP of this entire production tonight, of us going out to broadcast from an arena here. So should be good to have him around. Always good to see Svenny helping out, and we owe him a big thanks for that. So thanks for that, Svenny. In saying that, though, we're just approaching the 6 o'clock hour, so we're about halfway through. Jason, a few items that caught our attention this week before our guests get here. Let's talk a little bit about that. Specifically, one that actually involves an Indigenous hockey player, Zach Whitecloud, and the comments made by John Anderson on ESPN were, in a word, classless. But Anderson was allowed to apologize and keep his job. I personally believe that he shouldn't have kept his job. I don't think you have any right as a professional broadcaster to start making fun of guys' names. And calling Zach Whitecloud having a good name, you know, for toilet paper is probably one of the worst things I've ever heard anybody in a professional setting do, considering how good Whitecloud plays. Mm-hmm. John Anderson should have lost his job, I think. But that's just me.
Like, it's just a stupid comment to make. It's lazy. That's what it is. At the end of the day, you can't make a proper commentary on anything that's going on in the game or how he's playing or what's going on. You have to make fun, like poke fun at the guy's last name, and you know, to fill dead air.
Well, and I'm not here to make fun of ESPN, but if we're talking about lazy and ignorant, that's ESPN's broadcast this year.
I mean,
anyway,
fair.
So,
like we were talking before the show, but like. The Canadian hockey broadcasts get a lot of guff for being kind of like button up, serious, yeah. Very like yep. Even keel, like stereotypical media. Whereas the American broadcast, you get to have a little bit more fun and there's a little bit more character. But this is one of those moments where it's like you kind of want the goofiness and you want the buttoned up suit and tie, you know, like Ron McLean's coming in there. Because you're not getting this dumb stuff that's being said.
Well, I mean, we talked about it. We would like a little bit more NBA on TNT, the little Shaq and Barkley and, you know, and Kenny and Ernie. So back and forth, the poking fun at each other, which is fun, which is, you know, we have a good
Or poking fun at guys that they know.
Right.
And they know personally, and they know what lines they can and can't cross and what they can joke about.
But that's the thing, is that Anderson crossed a serious, unprofessional line. Like, you again, it's and you made, we talked about it before the show, and you made a good reference on it. Legitimately, I don't understand why Jack Edwards went ahead and talked about Pat Maloon being fat. Like, that should have cost him his job.
Yeah.
This should have cost John Anderson his job. And yet, it seems to be, and I don't want to, I'm not trying to lump everybody together. I'm not trying to put everybody into the same boat. But it's kind of reflective of the American way right now, in that if you screw up, you know, give me a chance to apologize. But nothing really happens there's no real retribution for anything stupid that you've done.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just the ease with which it was said, it's just kind of silly and pointless.
Oh, yeah, grab the... Jeff is here. Jeff, we're just talking about stuff. Grab the headset, hop in. We'll get you on the air here. Hold on. There we go. Can you hear us, Jeff? Are you... Oh, wait.
How are you doing, guys?
We're doing all right. How are you?
Thought I'd just come just do like a photo bomb on
sure,
you.
Sure, yeah.
Radio bomb?
Radio bomb. We'll do this.
Yeah,
for those that don't recognize the voice, he was on our show a few weeks ago. This is Jeff Sargent. Jeff, how are you?
Jeff Sargent, chair of the National Championship.
That is true, yes. He is the chair. He is the... What we like to call the commissioner. Around here in terms of the hockey games being played.
Don't want to be compared to Batman.
No, we're not. No. We're not trying to put you in that boat, that's for sure. Nobody used to boo you. That's the whole thing.
That's it.
We were just talking, though, about the whole Zach Whitecloud ESPN thing. Your thoughts on that? I mean, being, you know, involved in the Indigenous community and certainly deeply involved. What do you think?
Yeah, I did a TV interview yesterday, and, you know, I was saying it's amazing how... Incredible athlete, great defenseman, scoring goals in the playoffs. He's the only one having to do this.
Right.
Makes no sense to me whatsoever.
And I mean...
And an Indigenous athlete to have had to go through all the battles he did to get where he is and make the NHL, he wasn't drafted, and to have some idiot, ignorant guy that thinks he's funny, you know, it's totally uncalled for, terrible, and... You know,
so we were just saying we thought that John Anderson, again, not that we're you know, in a camp, we don't believe in the cancel culture stuff, but he should have lost his job for that. You don't get a right, you don't get a chance to cross that line of unprofessionalism and make fun of a guy's name.
The apology came when Zach Whitecloud called him.
Right, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. So he's sorry because he got called on it and felt, oh, I am sorry, and realized it then. Okay, well then, you shouldn't have a job, and you should be out looking for one somewhere, not anywhere you can hurt a person.
Right.
Yeah, and it really overshadows the great playoffs that Zach Whitecloud is having, that he's not talking about the play that he's had or the success that his team has had. He has to talk about this stupid incident that didn't need to happen because somebody said something dumb on a hot mic.
Well, again, and you know, when I speak with these guys, it's the same thing we go through every day in our communities.
Right.
You know, we have a team up in Quebec that their closest team they play is 500 kilometers away. That's an early one.
Yeah, Manitoba's up now. 1-0, folks.
1-1 into the game.
That's a good sign.
Big start. Big start for that, yeah. But, you know, you play teams 500 kilometers away. They're non-Indigenous towns, non-Indigenous refs, non-Indigenous teams. The culture, you walk in their buildings, is horrible. From the fans to the teams to the officiating. So seeing the way Zach talked about it, seeing the way Ethan addressed it a few years ago, the only good out of that is that our young people get to see it and see how to react or to these kind of situations.
So, I mean, and again, we'll talk about... Whoa, that's
2-0.
That's quick 2-0. Yeah, exactly. Or it's 10 seconds later, basically. We'll talk about the game here, because we just got
seven
to watch...
Seven
seconds. Okay, I see. You're keeping track better than I am. We just got to watch BC and I guess it was Eastern Door and North, play fantastic game between those two. Getting to see Manitoba Nunavut now in terms of how has the hockey been this week. We heard a little bit before about there has been some skirmishes, some players that needed to sort of have their hands slapped a little bit, but how has the hockey been this week for you?
It every year just gets better and better.
Yeah.
Scrums after the whistle. It's hockey. You know, the incidents, no, but you look at it from day one to now, 20 years ago to now, the caliber of hockey we're seeing, especially like the female side, even the male side.
Yeah.
It's just been a curve up for 20 years. Gets better and better. There's less and less of the extracurricular activity, we'll call it. And a lot more skill, and like, it's amazing to see it, and just, and where our kids have gone from here, kids like Zach.
Sure, yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, we've seen guys, I mean, you know, Michael Ferland across the way from us here. I mean, that's huge, and seeing him come back and certainly contribute a little bit as well in terms of coaching this team is huge for all these guys, so.
The kids see it, hey, he's gone to the NHL, he was lighting it up in 2015, went through a few good years, and, you know, injuries. He could still be sitting in Vancouver collecting an insurance. Instead, he came back to help the kids in the province and then to coach his team. He was a member to last year as an assistant. Took over the team this year. It's great to see him. He's a great kid.
Well, we've seen other great players come through as well. Danielle Stone's with, she plays in the SDHL. She's
Danny,
with Team Saskatchewan. And
she gets in touch with me from Europe. I'll get these weird messages, weird numbers with 85 digits. And Danny, she messaged me a couple months ago and said, hey, Jeff, you still with the championships? Said, yeah, this must be Danny because of the number.
Right, yeah.
Said, yeah, I'll be back coaching. You got Babstock, Kelly.
Yeah, Babs Ontario,
Kelly.
Yeah.
Hallie Armstrong, Callie Armstrong is on our hockey committee.
Okay, yeah.
Now we brought her in with our national committee.
Right,
and Chief George's granddaughter. you know, former captain of Harvard. She's been working with Team Ontario. She never played, but she's been working with the team over the years.
Well, we've seen, I mean, just walking around here, we've seen Kirk Keelback walking around here. He's doing some of the commentary this week. It is a big, big tournament. When people, I don't think people realize just how big it is. Like, it is a very big, very well-attended, in terms of hockey celebrities, well-attended tournament.
And that's our, you know, that's our goal now moving forward. You know, pre-COVID and building it up again, and then through COVID, it was a rough couple years.
Right.
Hardest 2 years of my last 20 without this, because this is like my kind of build me up again for the next year. And we're really working now to moving forward is to really build it, some talks with the NHL, getting back in with Hockey Canada, the corporate side of things. Rob with NMP is great. He just loves the event, loves it. And he wants to be involved more and more every year. He talks more than I do, which is shocking, because I didn't realize there was someone on earth that could. But you know what? It's a great product. It's a great event. Anybody that's seeing it for the first time, whether you're an athlete, whether you're a parent, whether you're just a community member here, I've had people that off the streets here that were looking for something to do, saw the tourney, they come in, they're like, wow, this is incredible stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the referees.
Right, yeah.
The first time a referee comes to it, we were in Halifax in 2015, first time in down east. We got the four or five to high level Q refs. We got a couple of them or things like that. Some of them were like, you know, it's a, you know, a native tournament, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The guys that went called their buddies and said, you missed the best tournament of the year.
Right.
It was TELUS Cup like. It was even more exciting because of that junior AAA, tier two junior, that stuff with the toughness and the culture. We went to Member 2 in 2018. We had the top Q refs. We're all there. Our final was refed by two of the best Q refs.
That is fantastic.
That's awesome.
And, yeah. And they made the best call in the 20 years that point one to go gold. To
up. So, that one, that was the stuff stood out for you, for sure.
For sure.
So, I mean, obviously, tournament's running well here in Winnipeg. Yep. I mean, it's nice to see great, great fan support. We've seen lots of people out all
busy.
Week.
Yeah. I was quite impressed all week. What a great hockey area. Yeah.
Mike, who's been doing some of the streaming here, said that you guys are getting great numbers online as well. Yeah. So, lots of people tuning in to watch this. We're trying to get more people to come down, obviously, listening to our show here. But, I mean, next year, it looks
and
like
you guys are pretty popular, so we should get a few.
Hopefully we'll get a few people. It's supposed to rain on Saturday. Like let's get out
Let's get out to the ring. Seven Oaks, let's go.
I mean, it's running all day tomorrow. So medal contention all day tomorrow. It'll set everything up for Sunday.
Up for the medal game on Saturday. Yeah.
So get down here and get to see all the stuff. Manitoba currently with a 2-0 lead.
Yep.
So possibly looking at a semifinal berth here, which is going to be great. A chance for the women to defend the title. They're in the semifinals already.
There you go.
I mean, this is going to be a good day for Manitoba hockey.
Big day for hockey tomorrow and Manitoba hockey. The more fans come out and support, it usually helps.
Exactly. I mean, big crowds means big games. So next year, I was reading a little bit about that. You guys got a couple of interested locations. Looks like maybe Saskatchewan. Looks like maybe Niagara Falls. Are you guys kicking around names?
Actually, we had three. You brought up, since you kind of have heard Saskatchewan, Niagara Falls, we could add a town in Alberta to the list, too.
Oh, Alberta, finally. Okay, there we go.
There were three names in there.
Yeah.
So tomorrow at the closing ceremonies, you guys will find out where we're going.
Nice.
Awesome.
Okay, that is going to be good. We'll certainly
even
keep
more
an eye
reason
on that.
To come down.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. I'm pretty good at poker, so
there you go. No, he didn't give anything away here either, folks. He didn't actually highlight one of them or give us the thumbs up on one of them. Nothing like that. So I heard the opening ceremonies were absolutely just, it was fantastic as well.
A lot of fun every year. You know?
Again, Mike, who was streaming it, said that, you know, they got tons and tons and tons of people watching.
Yeah.
Had to up the actual bandwidth, the number of people that could watch. So,
having the availability, again, the cost for athletes to come in from all over the country is high. Cost for families and extended families and friends to watch.
Yeah.
Having them stream the last many years now, we started it, back in Halifax 2015 is the first year that we did it right through the event.
Right.
It gives people the opportunity to see this great hockey with great, great streaming.
It's been perfect. Yeah.
And the commentating this year, excellent. I've had it on in there in the office there. It's a lot of fun. And listen, they get excited.
Yeah.
That Alberta, I want to hear the tape on the last game there when they were all around the net.
Right, yeah.
The last 30 seconds. Apparently, he almost lost his feet. You know, it was...
It's funny that and again, because we just found out that Keelback... Again, you've got the former Winnipeg Jets, you know, voice of the Winnipeg Jets calling games here.
Going like, crazy with it.
That is insane. That is so much fun.
And they're great. Like, it's amazing.
So, if you're not watching, again, you can get on there and watch it. Go to NAHC2023.ca. You can watch all the games on there. If you can't make it down tomorrow, everything is being streamed. So, you can watch it on your phone, your computer, wherever you want at home.
There's a link in there to Girl Media and Vimeo there. And you get in there, and they're all listed with picks. You know which one's on. And you can replay them and things like that in there.
And there are a few that are worth replaying already. I mean, there's been a couple of really, really good games so far. So we're excited to see all that. Obviously excited to see what's going to happen tomorrow. Because, I mean, tomorrow's where the best of the best sort of get themselves set and ready for medals at that point, which is always good. Is there anything that, and again, this is going to sound bad, and I don't mean to put it in a negative context, but is there anything that you go, next year we're gonna do this better?
Every year we do that. Because, you know what? There's no perfect product in this world. You'll hear even my other commissioner, Gary Bettman, say the same thing.
Right, yeah.
I think our product is solid. I think it's getting better and better every year. But it doesn't mean we can sit back and go, we're done. I think every year we have to improve whatever it is to make it the best thing for our kids. If it's something little, if it's something big, if it's better refs, some people will say... Kidding aside, nobody.
That's only an NHL
problem.
Never
get everybody happy with the refs, right? No matter where he are, but you know what? If we can find whether it's an add-on thing to the championship every year, that's the goal. Maybe it's a scholarship in the future. Maybe it's whatever.
Right.
You know, and me, it's just the love of seeing these kids. People are like, you know, 20 years, well, congrats. I go, no, it's easy for me.
Yeah.
I just pop in, do my stuff. I'm pretty good at it, I think. And respect everybody. They respect back. The kids respect. The game is there. You watch them, friends. Some of the picks we've got from the championships, guys sitting talking.
Yeah.
The interviews on TV and with you guys and everything have been great. Like, it's super.
I mean, Jay and I were talking about this, you know, a couple weeks ago. Certainly, you know, every week as we're getting closer as well. We're excited to come see this. This is the next wave of great players in this country as well. We're talking about college, university. I don't think people realize, though, and I think we were just talking about it before you sat down here as well, Jeff.
When I cut in on you.
Well, that's okay. We wanted you here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we were talking about a couple of the players, like 15 years old playing in a U22 league.
Yeah.
Like, there are some exceptionally talented kids that are out here playing. So I don't know if people are aware just how good this tournament is, but you watch on the ice right now and you're going, everybody can skate, everybody can play, everybody knows their system.
You have 13-year-old girls playing against 18-year-olds.
Right.
It shows how elite they are at that young age. And they've got nothing to do but get better. So, and they've got another 5 years and 4 years and 4 years to be here.
And we were talking about a few of the players already been recruited and some of the older girls and stuff going on. But like again, we were laughing about it because Sydney Sawyer, I mean, from Ontario, she's the 15-year-old playing in the under-22 league in Ontario.
Yeah.
And you go, how does she even survive that? Like, she's so good.
It's remarkable just that drive they have and to be... You know, really out of your comfort zone. Our communities are isolated.
Yeah.
Our kids go south. 20 years ago, they'd all come home.
Right.
Now there's such a great support system in place. Like, we had a kid from Quebec there, Winston Iseroff, that was drafted by Cape Breton. He was down playing at the Wally with everybody there. And, you know, he goes down summer with the guy. Like, that's Quebec to Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. And they're bonded, and a lot of it is through this. A lot of it is through the connections, like being together.
I mean, we talk about this because I mean, we talk about the Furlans and the Danielles coming back and giving back. But I mean, really, the Ethan Bears, and I mean, those are the guys that I know that are sort of the role models, I guess, in terms of not only being a great hockey player but Indigenous as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, really, when we look at this stuff, I mean. it does bond communities together. And really, right. I mean, when those guys are a star in whatever team they're playing for and they come home and they're a star, and again, I'll use the name Brady Keeper. I mean, yeah. Brady's from a tiny town up north in Manitoba.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Great
hey, kid goes to Florida and all of a sudden he's the hottest thing since, right? And
yeah, that's it.
I mean, you kind of look at that. I mean, he played in this tournament as well.
Our alumni, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
He played in this tournament as well. I mean, is it nice to sort of see, like, sort of go, I remember when that kid played here.
I was saying Jamie Lee Rattray. Yeah. In 2010.
Rattray, yeah.
And I remember, her there and just thinking, wow, she's got a future right there, you know. And seeing the smile on her face to be able to play in our event. Babs there. Saying this week, Jeff, my best played U.S. national all over college, man. My best hockey, best was this.
Yeah,
and that's so good to hear. These and they come back and coach and give back, and then the kids see, hey, she went to college in the States and all this.
Right.
So it's amazing that she's giving back her time and energy and just that personality. And Danny, same.
Yeah,
playing over in Europe. Broke her shoulder up there and still didn't say anything to anybody and came back and took over and came back to coach.
Right.
She could have said, hey, guys, I'm injured. I'm going to sit back. No. I'm giving back to the youth, and I'm going to show them who I am.
Well, and she's been really good about giving back, like you said. Oh, yeah. She came back for the Fred Sasakamoos tournament as well and certainly gave a little bit of time there as well. And you kind of go, like, that's the kind of leadership, and again, I'm not trying to put her on a pedestal, but the kind of leadership you want to see from some of these players who have gone on to do big things, right?
Well, put her in a different level this week. Girl separated her shoulder this week.
Yep.
So she's got her shoulder.
Right, yeah.
So that girl is learning from her how to adjust and adapt to that injury. So again, it takes it to that other level, right?
Right,
crazy. Yeah.
That is so good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, big picture. I mean, obviously, we're not here to rain on anybody's parade, but big picture, and I know you said you're not going to pick anybody. You're not going to, select teams to win, and you're not cheering for one team over the other. But, I mean, let's get your thoughts on the three or four that are left here. Do you have a team that you've been pretty impressed with this week?
he's going to give the diplomatic answer.
No, but seriously, look at it.
He's going to avoid this question all over again.
BC went 3-0, won their game today.
Yeah.
They're top seed until they're beat. Ontario won last year. They're the champ until they're beat. They're still in.
Yep.
Add in, who else is left of them? Sask.
Sask is still there. And then Manitoba.
Sask has been a medal contender for many years.
Yep.
And you got Manitoba up 4-0 in this game. Manitoba is probably hungry this year after outshooting the team 53-12 last year and losing the quarters in overtime.
And so the added pressure being on home soil
and
here.
And it's again the host, yeah. And so the girls' side, the girls are defending. Again, you've got Ontario there. Manitoba, Ontario, who else is it? BC.
BC is in there, yeah.
Hey, 5-0 in the round robin to Sask, turned around and beat Sask 5-1 today.
Right,
that's pretty impressive turnaround in a short time frame from a day or two to now, right?
They kind of came together over the week, though.
They really did.
They kind of stumbled out of the gate, and then all of a sudden they took off.
They're starting to gain a little momentum, as they say, and that's, you want to peak at the right time, and playoff hockey is the right time.
That's exactly going to do it. Now, do you guys have a prize at the end of the week for, like, scoring leaders, or, like, you guys?
There are awards there, There are awards through for, there's forward defense, goalie, and then we have team sportsmanship, things like that. It's pretty fun.
Just because we're keeping an eye on Marlon out on the ice, obviously. Marlon Edwards from Manitoba, because he's 7 goals and 3 assists. 7 goals is kind of leading the tournament there. But, I mean, we're pretty excited to see any Manitoba get an award.
There's a few studs, as they'd say, all over the championship, male and female, that you see.
Yeah.
Every team's got one or two. Look at that kid from Sask there, the captain. He's got the hands that are like McDavid and Matthews. It just lost me.
I'll find them.
Yeah, you find them for me. But they're 19 there. He's got the most wicked hands. The puck's like a magnet to him. There.
Yeah,
head up all the time. Strides like with strength and speed, and you know, always looking to make a good pass. And his shots, he rings them off the glass. You'd think it was a really an NHLer firing those.
Ironically, his name is Pavel. Pavel McKenzie.
Yeah, yeah. Unreal. Oh, yeah.
Forget Pavel Bure or Pavel Datsyuk.
Like, old buddy of mine.
That's him.
Yeah, yeah. Funny on Bure there when he signed his $50 million in Florida. He's one of the first guys to probably shake his hand.
There you go.
I was walking up the street in Ottawa, and Gino and Pavel, the late Gino, God rest his soul,
yep,
was one of my besties.
Yep.
And I was walking up the street for a meeting in Ottawa, and I get this, hey, mister, can you tell me how to get... They were playing in Ottawa that night, Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
Gino was hurt with the Islanders.
Okay.
He's driving Pavel around.
Right.
I look up and I go, oh, I know who's driving, right? Went over, shook his hand. He had signed his $50 million 2 days before. So it was really neat. I used to hang out with him in Montreal. Every time they came to
right,
town,
yeah,
I'd hook up with them. And yeah, so Pavel, another Pavel.
There
be
you
another
go.
NHL great.
Could be.
He's got the skills to go pretty far. So, yeah.
Speaking of Panthers.
Can you believe my Leafs?
Can you believe it?
Hey, no, let's look at last night. The Leafs got on the board last night with one of their best defensive games
true
of the year.
Yep, no.
If Keith can start playing Matthews and Marner more than 6 minutes a period, we might do more.
Okay, that's fair.
I think it's a lot of coaching and management of that team. It's... If your best aren't on the ice, you're not going to win. So when you get an overtime and you lose and not one of their names has been on for a second,
right, yeah,
there's something wrong there.
Did you find it odd, though, that Keith, after game three, said, well, we're going to go back to Marner, Matthews, and Yarncroft. They were our best line all year, and we haven't been playing. If they're your best line all year, why aren't they playing together?
Why aren't you throwing O'Reilly with Tavares and Nylander to give Tavares...
Right.
Tavares on wing is like a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
At center, he's like a 40-year-old. And I love him. Like, but he has so much more energy.
Yes.
When they move him to the wing... So now that you're down to it, those lines should be going 1-2, then 1-2-3... They should be on the ice every second or third shift.
Right, yeah.
I mean, half those guys are, like, in their mid-20s. Like, they can handle it. They can go out there and play 30 minutes
they're
a night.
They're not, like, almost 60 like me. That I had to walk up six stairs in no power last night and barely made it up. With a face that looked like Shrek there. I had a little bit of an allergy thing yesterday. And, yeah, what do you do?
Oh,
but
crazy.
These guys are young.
You know,
25 to 30. Come on.
I mean, that's the thing. These guys should be used to it, especially playing
or
that way.
Matthews not killing penalties. You're telling me, growing up from 7 till 20, when he was the most amazing player playing, that he never killed a penalty?
No. I mean, if Gretzky can kill penalties, Matthew can kill penalties. Like, I'm just saying that
it's
out loud.
It's not rocket science, isn't it?
Exactly.
He's the best two-way center in the game. Surely he could be a penalty killer.
If you score 60, you have to get a couple while you're shorthanded, right?
You know what? I don't even want to talk about the Leafs. I said, if they lost last night, there's not a conversation today. They deserve it.
Yeah.
When they won, I said, okay, that's one. But now, I'd rather talk about these guys.
Oh, I'm 100% behind you. Manitoba currently up 5-0. As we're nearing the end of the first period here, Manitoba got a good lead going here. But, again, take nothing away from Nunavut. How good was this team all week, Nunavut? I mean, they got blown out a couple of times. I'm not going to lie about it. But they play hard.
But it doesn't mean it. Blowouts are blowouts. That 6-2 game, SAS this morning, Atlantic wasn't a blowout game.
No.
Over there, you see the Atlantic Girls just now. I think there were 55 shots when it was 4-0 or 5-0.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Losing 5-0 with 55 shots is not too bad.
I mean,
that goalie was pretty darn good.
Right,
I mean,
so take
a lot of skill, a lot of talent all over. Winning teams, losing teams, it doesn't matter, you know?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're first, second, eighth in this tournament. I mean, you're going to see good hockey no matter what's being – you know, who's being played.
And on any given day, you never know.
That's the thing is, again, I'm not going to say there's going to be an upset in the next day or two, but there could be. There very well could be.
I mean, it's tournament hockey. That stuff happens.
Yeah, and I mean, when you look at your top four being in the semis, there is no upset, but there also is no favorite.
Right. It's a coin flip for all of those teams.
It's a short tourney. Championship hockey is you peak at the right time. As I told one of the guys today, you know, who plays who? I said, well, of course, it's always reseeded based on the round robin. So semis is highest, lowest,
right,
second, third. And I said, does it matter who we play? It doesn't matter.
No.
You got to beat everybody to win.
Exactly.
No matter who it is, you got to win to win.
Just keep playing.
That's it.
So, I mean, everything starts tomorrow in terms of placement games. So, if you're listening to this show right now and you want to come down here tomorrow.
For the medals, yeah.
Free admission, which is obviously the first thing.
Yeah.
Great crowds, fantastic people that are here in terms of having a lot of fun. Certainly, you can watch online as well during the streaming. Again, things are going to start early. 8:15, 8 o'clock in the morning in terms of getting games underway.
Yeah, the morning starts with the relegation game.
Right.
Because even teams that have lost out of the medals still play tomorrow, relegating for next year for the seedings.
Yeah.
And then I think it's, what time is it, 11?
I have for the women's.
For the semifinal male, it starts at 11.
I believe, hold on, just bringing that up right now. They do start at 10.
Oh,
10 a.m., yeah.
10, 1, 4, and 7.
Yes, 30. Correct.
7:30,
yeah.
We're doing our closing at 7.
Correct.
And that's where next year's will be announced.
Yep.
And
we'll find out which of the three cities are in there, which will be good. But again, things start at 8 a.m. tomorrow if you're coming down for the women's game. First men's game is at 11:15 tomorrow in terms of coming in to watch that. So, or sorry, 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
The semifinal.
Yeah.
The first relegation game, was 11:15.
Yeah.
But I mean, they'll go right through until, until 7 o'clock.
Female semis are at 4 and 7:30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be good if you're off in the afternoon or you're coming down in the afternoon, you're going to see semifinal hockey no matter what you see.
Maybe you'll call in sick tomorrow, spend the entire day here.
Maybe you guys should just bring all this over tomorrow and we'll hack in and have some fun again.
We could do this, actually, if that's
that
that's
would
the
be
case.
Pretty cool.
We can have some fun with that.
Oh, yeah.
So. I will say this, though. I mean, in terms of looking at bronze and gold medal games, if you're going to come down for the big games, let's make sure that we clear this up because this is going to be important. For the gold medal game on the, I guess this is the women's side, or sorry, the men's side, that'll be at 4 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah.
So 4 o'clock on Saturday if you're coming down for that game. Make sure you come down and get here early because, again, I have a feeling that seating will be limited with the number of people we've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been good all week, so that'll be good. And, again, it'll be 7 o'clock on Saturday for the gold medal game for the women.
Yeah.
So you get a chance to watch 2 gold medal games in a row if you're going to come down on Saturday night and on Sunday.
For nothing.
For nothing. That's the thing.
One of some of the best U18 hockey for nothing.
I'll give you a soapbox here. We've got about 2 minutes left here, Jeff. Jeff Spencer with us. He is the director of hockey and everything hockey here at the National Aboriginal Hockey Championship. Give you a little bit of soapbox if you want to promote anything before we get out of here.
For me, it's just all about thanking you, the crews here. We did the show a month ago. CGOB and the CTV and all the media that have been here. You know what? For us, they're getting the word out, what we're about, how we're doing it, you know. It's a national championship. You guys have all been great at promoting it, having some fun on the radio, talking about it, seeing the kids. It's about coming out, supporting our youth, giving them a safe environment to be able to compete at the highest levels together. For me, that's great. And everything that's been created around it, here in Winnipeg, for us, the support we have. And then moving to the next one next year, and year to year. And, you know, I really feel the momentum every year, and I'm excited for the next one.
Tell you what, we're going to keep your number handy because we're going to promote next year's as well, wherever it goes, whether it's one of Alberta, Saskatchewan, or Southern Ontario there in Niagara Falls. We'll keep you promoting, make sure we can promote that as well, make sure that everybody's aware of what's going on down there. I can't say enough thanks for this, Jeff. This tournament is good. It looks great. I will be here for the gold medal game. I am coming down, so I want to see who's going to win, so we'll make sure we're down for that. That, folks, right here for another week, though, here on the Hockey Show. Jason, anything you want to say before we go?
I'm just going to say you've got to come down here. I was blown away when I walked in. I was expecting big crowds. I was not expecting this big of a crowd. So.
Right, exactly. So
it's must-see television.
Manitoba currently leads 5-0 at the end of first. If you're going to tune in on the NAHC.2.2023.ca website or come down to Seven Oaks Arena. By all means, you can get down here and see it for free. With that, we're out of here for another week, everybody. Have a good one. See you next week on the Hockey Show.